cliffcentral.com.
And that is correct. We are here. We are live. And welcome to Belighted with Rami and Romeo. And hi, my Roms. How are you doing today?
I'm awesome. I am loving the weather. And of course, if you unfortunately going to download this podcast in winter, we recorded it in summer. Because chances are you download this podcast, you know, 2 years from now, and that's why I will stay away from mentioning dates, times, what happened to my weekend and all that. Amen. How are you, Remsda?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I can't complain at all. Yeah. Everything is good. It's been a lovely time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And here we are on Belighted one more time.
Yeah, another installment of Belighted. Of course, if you want to, you've been wondering what Belighted is. Belighted is a show that is very inspirational, very motivational for like and unlike-minded people. We talk about life, our challenges, and of course, we hope to beat a light bulb out of you. Yeah?
Yes. The idea is to inspire and also is to motivate and to just, like, you know, remind people that everyone is important, everything that we do matters, and that, you know, we're all on different, we might be on different roads, different paths, but at the end of the day, the journey is to get to the end of the line, having fulfilled everyone's
and purpose. Different transport at different speeds.
Definitely.
You know, someone driving a smaller engine and admiring someone who drives a V8 or V12.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we all go in there. Mm. And it is how we get there that gets us, all of us, talking. Just so we get to encourage one another, get to inspire one another.
Yep.
And just get to pick each other up when you hit potholes, when you hit turbulences, when you hit challenges. So it's just us coming together and saying we are all in one in one spirit, and we're doing what we do best and hoping that you do not give up along the way, because at the end of the day, the end is all that matters.
That's true. And of course, how do people get hold of us? Of course, if you want to interact with us, we've got our WhatsApp on 0797482090. That's 0797482090. And what's our social media, Staffy?
Yeah, at Belighted Show. That's us on Instagram and on Twitter. And of course, you can find us on Facebook, Belighted with Rami and Romeo.
And of course, feel free to actually subscribe to Cliff Central newsletter. We've got some interesting stuff, highlights of some of our best shows, and then also my favorite one is like a trivia, you know, it gets you educated as well. So, and then the classic one, it's the weekend, baby. There's always some emoji or some mini video there to usher in the weekend.
Yeah. And those dance videos, some of them, they're just like, wow.
Yeah, man.
There's the Uba Bagadu Duzani. Uba Bagadu Duzani. But yeah, that's another story.
Mm-hmm.
But then also, please, if you don't have the... No, if you're listening, definitely have the app. But then if you're listening on your friend's smartphone, please download the Cliff Central app. And have it on your phone.
Yeah, that's
so you
true.
Can listen to all the other amazing shows that we have on Cliff Central.
Mm.
And yeah, you'll be amazed, you'll be pleasantly shocked, and it will definitely change your life. So get the Cliff Central app.
And I think the option to actually, when you hit Wi-Fi, you actually download the podcasts and you can actually listen to them offline.
Yeah. I like how you're just like hitting the Wi-Fi. Data must fall, eh? You're like trying to save people's money.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, that's enough about us. And yeah, we've got an amazing guest in studio.
Yeah. And one guest who never takes interviews. Clearly, I've got some Mashangani magic.
Huh? Yeah, definitely. Because, Yeah, I know she never takes interviews.
She never takes interviews.
I was shocked that she was coming in today. I was like, are you sure she's going to be there?
I've got the Papa Penny magic. Eh?
And now she is here, guys. Yeah. You will not believe it.
Mm.
But we have... Oh, are you going to do the drum roll?
Oh, thank you for cueing me. Oh.
Yeah, because if I don't cue, then you complain.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, in studio today.
Yes.
We've got the spicy... Mercy Lord. The fiery.
Yes.
The gorgeous.
The all-rounder.
The phenomenal. The amazing.
Yes.
The talented. The spunkiest.
The one who redefines sense of humor.
Exactly. That's why we call it spicy, because une aromet, une no.
Une vavavum.
Une vavavum. Hey, she's hotter than tikka masala.
Yes.
Hey?
Tikka bomb.
Red than paprika. Hotter than Nando spice.
Ooh.
When you bring the Nandos, you bring the Miandos.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got the amazing Nokutulale Doba in studio. Yay.
Hello everyone. I'm there. I made it on time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Time.
Way
on time.
On time.
Like, you made it before the time that is supposed to be the time.
Eh? We nearly came to your studio, you interview us.
Yeah. No. Nokutulale has been here. Hello, you gorgeousness.
Hello.
Mama waga lewati.
Yeah.
Yes. How are you?
I'm fantastic for a Monday morning. Still a little bit sleepy, but hey, I'm here. We're going to have fun. Thank you so much for having me.
Let's light it up. People, if you don't know who Nokutulale Doba is, she's an actress. She's been on so many shows. From the top of my head, we've had Umlilo.
Yeah, All Seasons.
She's the staring there. She's like the lead.
Rhythm City. Yeah.
Yeah, she's been there for years at Rhythm City. Ne? Yeah, then there was Umlilo. And then there's, what else was there? Then, of course, the amazing Roots.
Yeah.
You know? And she wasn't an extra. This is Kunta Kinte's mother, guys. Nokutulale was Kunta Kinte's mother. Like, you couldn't have been Roots without Nokutulale's character, because we wouldn't have had a Kunta Kinte.
Yeah.
No, she was the mother. The production was depending on her to give birth to this boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when she did, then the movie started.
She was on Scandal.
Yeah.
She was on Scandal. Backstage.
Yeah. She did all of them.
Hard copy.
Yes.
So basically, you've done it all.
Yeah, maybe that's why I'm not getting hired anymore. Yeah, but I've been at this. I've been acting for a very long time. I turned professional in 2005, I think. So before then, it was theater all the way. But yeah, theater doesn't, money issues. You'll have too many money issues. When you're doing strictly theater. So I just ventured into television. And had a blast ever since.
But I'm going to ask a very unfair question.
Mm-hmm.
And then second it, support me. Because I know you.
It's fine, just ask.
Eh?
Just ask.
What is your first love, television, film, or theater?
Storytelling.
Right.
Storytelling. I think I'd be dead without it. And you know, even with those three, I can't. There's also music that I love so much. But if I had a choice, and if I were paid like 2 million rands per production,
yeah,
I'd definitely choose film.
Okay,
without a doubt.
Okay,
without a doubt,
we can work with 2 million.
South Africa.
Yeah, no, man. I know exactly what you mean. So, 2 million for a film. But we know then that is not possible.
No.
What is the compromise then?
Well, you know, one, you have to... It's not just a hobby, you know. Acting is not a hobby. It's a job. Out there and we put our heart and everything in it. We literally put your life on the line, you know, for a project. So I think it'd be fair if you know, we'd all stakeholders involved came together and like, listen, guys, this is our work. If you're making money from a project, can I also make money? And that's fair because we have kids to feed. There's school. There's this. There's that. And there's basic the real factors in life where you have to face retirement at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. Without trying to get into the history, like mm-hmm. where you started, where you mm-hmm. come from, and all. I think we can work backwards. Mm-hmm. But I think maybe we should just start discussing the entertainment industry, because mm-hmm. we've had a couple of actors here mm-hmm. coming into studio. We've had different interviews, mm-hmm. but I think we've never had discussed the dynamics mm-hmm. of what goes in terms of money, for instance, mm-hmm. in terms of the South African TV industry mm-hmm. and film industry, mm-hmm. in terms of how the grants get and how mm-hmm. sometimes angry it mm-hmm. makes entertainers, it makes actors that, you know, they're always like an afterthought, that always put right there at the back because the work is not taken seriously. And what for you and Anokutula, what has been the biggest challenges, and not just you personally, mm-hmm. in the entertainment industry, in the film industry, mm-hmm. yeah, what do you think is one of I know money is the biggest one,
yeah,
but then the challenges that we find, that if you were to be put in a post, in a position one mm-hmm. day where you had to run the arts and culture, for mm-hmm. instance, what are mm-hmm. the first things that you would tackle and what would you change?
Top of my list would be, almost answered the money question, but first of all, it would be...
Lift your mic like this.
Treating South African actors and stars as such.
Uh-huh.
On home ground especially.
Yeah.
I find that having worked on international sets, it's our people who are actually mistreating our own.
Yeah.
Mm.
And you find that if there's an international producer and who's hands-on,
yeah,
the treatment is completely different. The respect,
mm.
you know, and everyone is there to do this particular project. Everyone is there for the same reasons. And there's also racism that we don't really talk about, where you find that a line producer, a producer, will not even learn your name.
Yeah.
And those are the things that really irk me. And they make me really angry as a black South African actor. And there's also discrimination of women.
Mm-hmm.
Where sometimes, you know, you're not briefed. Certain things are just flouted, you know, in that are in the contract, but everyone just ignores them. For example, nudity.
Mm.
If there are nude scenes, it must be written in my contract. This is how we're going to do it.
And you have to sign the consent as well.
Yes, and you have to sign the consent. But those are ignored.
Mm.
And I've had instances where I had to fight.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really fight. Put my neck on the line and say, I'm not doing this until this is done.
Yeah. Mm.
And that has gotten me into so much trouble, you know.
Yeah.
I remember calling you on a certain
project. I remember.
And I was like, you're running, they're going to fire me.
I was like, yeah, leave. Yeah, they must just go away.
So there's also that where the director had to step in and we discussed it properly and we sorted it out. Like, can we respect each other? This is my body and it's a vessel. I use it to tell these stories.
Yes.
Can it be respected and treated as such?
Yeah.
Now, obviously, there are young aspiring women, and I know part of what you do is empowerment and workshops, mm-hmm. Facilitating those workshops. Mm-hmm. How do you then, if we can create a belated moment for a young up-and-coming actress, all they want is to get into the industry, mm-hmm. but then chances are they're probably going to ignore those little, you know, concerns that you spoke about.
Mm.
When you would host such a workshop, what are some of the advice and how do you phrase it in such a way that it doesn't tarnish, you know, because the media industry, of course, because you still want to protect it somehow.
Yeah. Mm. Look, first of all, I always encourage people to protect themselves first.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Protect your self from abuse, and most of the time that entails saying no and reading your contract. If you don't understand, ask someone who might understand what's being said in the contract, because you don't want to watch a film 20, 25 years later and it hurts you.
Yeah.
Because I've seen it happen to some people who have agreed to certain terms and they look back and think, I shouldn't have done that. And you don't want to be an actor and think that way of your past work.
Hmm.
you'd rather think, eh, maybe ngeke ekthile bitirinyana mo, I should have. Those are the, you know, those are the internal conversations that you should be having, and not regret. Regret shouldn't be one of them. And I always emphasize that if you are going to act, if you are going to, if you want to be amongst the best, the challenge is bigger.
Yeah.
The challenges are far bigger.
Yeah.
And you will be labeled, you will be called names, but if you know that you want to tell stories and you want your grandchildren and those that come after you to look up to you, because what in the at the end of the day, it's not who was this, your name remains.
Yeah.
And the work that you have put in remains.
Yeah.
And nothing else, not your hey nalipila, that doesn't. You know, msebenzi wakho uyakukhulumela.
It's gonna be archived, you know.
And if you are in my workshops, I always say that look, because you didn't go to your Verts, your Rhodes, Kaikai, your TUT, because some people like myself, I didn't. I had to be trained in a theater, you know, where I had to travel and get training from Action Transport Theater Company in the UK, which was a completely different industry, right? And looking back now, had I not had all those people around me and those books that they were giving me, because I had to study on my own. I had to practice on my own and have my family and my siblings watching me like, hey, Benjan. And it takes a lot of work because you know you're not in a class, a formal class where you'll get a paper that says, hey, you did really well.
Yeah.
So you have to put in the work. There's no other way. There's no other way, but it gets bafela in the end.
That's true. Then your work is what leaves you leaves to speak for you. Okay, now, Nokutela, let's go back. It's gonna be way back. Now it sounds like that. I sound like that song. I wanna go back, way back.
Black Street, yeah.
That now I'm sounding like Black Street. Nokutela, I remember 1999. Okay. I think you're still in high school in 1999. And then you said to me, Ausirabi, he's like, I'm going to be an actress. You see, it's not I want. I'm going to be an actress.
Yeah.
And I want you to tell me, how did you get into it? You know? And for someone who gets... who got the question, I mean, that's the question you get each and every day. Someone going, hey, tell me how, do you think you can connect me? And, you know, so, and, but then the way you asked and the way you said to me like, hey, this child is serious. Nokutela is very, very serious about what she's saying. And she wouldn't ask once. Like, okay, who's your agent? And I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Like she wanted to know, who did I pick? How did I start? Who do I work with? And did I have to study for it? Like all those important questions. And
so
I
think so she did her homework.
Yeah. And then that's one of the things that set her apart. And then when you see Nokutela blossoming and coming up into the in the industry, then you understand that it is something that started a long time ago. It's not like she was trying to be a doctor, then she failed first year and thought, you know what? Medicine is not for me. Let me try something easier. And I'm saying that in a very light way, because people think acting and being in the entertainment industry, just like, it looks like I might an not be good at something. I'm not good at intellectual as well, in caps, in inverted commas, intellectuals. I'm not an academic, so let me get in the arts. But it's actually not that. Like, people consciously wake up each and every morning and say, this is it. This is what I want to do. And you chose it at an early age. And why? And how did you know this was it? And out of everything else that you could have picked, you picked this, knowing how difficult it is. Remember how I used to discourage you? Yo, Nokutela, you're going to suffer. Yo, Nokutela, it's hard. It's hard. But then you just went on and on and on. This, I was like, just look at this shame. She doesn't listen. Like, she's not listening.
Okay.
I think I knew very early on, because initially I did want to be a veterinarian.
Okay.
But that was like primary school, right? Because I loved dogs so much. And I thought, oh my gosh. And my dog was poisoned. And then we went to Gome Dunsa. And so the young student doctors, they're like, oh gosh, they're helping animals. That's what I want to do. And then as I grew up, because I used to write even in primary school.
Yeah.
I'd draw comics, you know, and mm-hmm. they're my own little thing. And I used to draw some people who looked like the boots, you know, their heads were all funny. So, I used to talk to myself a lot.
Yeah.
And I'd have all these characters in my head, and, you know, and later on did I learn when you start asking questions about your family and the people who birthed you.
Yeah.
They tell you that actually you come from a long line of storytellers.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
And you find, and then, you know, you have this great uncle who tells you about that great, great uncle who used to tell stories.
Yeah.
And like, oh, okay. And the music, because that was also another a thing that I wanted to do. I have this thing that I want to say. I have
so
much to say.
Yes, and I forgot to tell people that you actually sing so well. You know, Nokutula sings very well, guys.
And she speaks Changani as well. Now, that was awesome. Just putting it out there.
It's when the age.
She's from Soshangube. She's from the age. It's but the age. Like, she doesn't have a choice.
So I it was inevitable, you know.
Yeah.
It was going to happen because, you know, I got kicked out of home. I don't know if you know about that, when I came out and said, guys, I'm going to be an actor. And my mom got so frustrated and she was so disappointed. And I'm sure she cried, you know, though she wouldn't show any of us that she was heartbroken. She said, oh, you know, you can be anything you want.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Things got so bad at home that, you know, she was like, look, maybe it's time your mother looked after you, because I cannot take this. I cannot handle it. And yeah. I was sent packing to live with my biological mother, whom I'd never lived with. I only lived with her until I was probably a year old.
Hmm.
And then she disappeared. Yeah, my mom was weird.
You always say that. Yeah, my mom was weird. And then you just carry on.
And so I had to leave home, you know, yeah. And home, it was pretty comfortable, you know. And my mom worked, and I had my own room, bedroom suit.
And you had a whole shopping complex,
you
across.
Know, yeah,
you just walk 2 seconds, you're in the shops, you come back.
Mm. And the next thing I'm living, go to Klipspruit, you go to 2 room with 8 other people in a 2-roomed house.
Hey.
This is real, Moss.
It's real.
Yeah.
But even then, I think that's the beautiful thing about youth.
Yeah.
And being so boisterous and saying that, look, I am going to do this.
Mm.
Come hell or high water. Ngulungul, I know you've got my back, but hey, can you really show up? Because I'm really going to need you. And that living Klipspruit, very high unemployment rates, HIV, AIDS, you know, at the time, people were dying every single day. And that, for me, was magnified in that place where every single weekend, scores of people were dying, young people, you know, were dying, some through very violent ways in which they died.
Yeah.
And I was in this place, and I remember I wanted to do radio. I was like, okay, what do I do? I'm here now. I'm broke. I have like 70 randa in my pocket. what do I do? So I bought myself an exam pad and I started writing stories.
Yeah.
And I remember taking them to another radio station, which I used to walk. I will not mention, because they stole my work. And the next thing, I heard it on radio, like, how? Jan Manj, you know, and it was quite, I used to walk long distances, you know. I used to double up go Nansfield Hostel, which was, it was pretty rough at the time.
It was
really dangerous for a girl child to be going passing
across,
there. But somehow, you know, those guys, some of them would kappa me because they'd see me like, oh, shalanga pe maturum, okay. And then they'd walk, and I made friends at the hostel, you know. And sometimes people would see me with those people like, yo, let's go kebeng. You're walking around with them, and I tell them, okay, I'll be back at around this time, and then
they wait for you.
Yeah, and then they wait for me.
So, sweet,
so there are some of good lessons to learn from your
so
story.
Many. Yeah.
Because
so many.
One of them is tenacity and flexibility and adaptation.
Mm.
Your ability to adapt. I mean, moving from Kososha to like the 2-room and somehow you find a way to live there. But what I wanna borrow your mind on is the importance of consistency and persistency, rather, looking at how you really believed that you were going to be a thespian or an actress or an actor. And, you know, despite mom, you know, kind of like in inverted commas, not supporting the idea, how would you encourage someone who also maybe might be going through the same thing now to say, my parents don't believe in me, and obviously they tell me that they're going to not buy bread because, you know, it's either, you know, the Hobson's choice, take it or leave it type of an arrangement. How would you, in a workshop setting, how would you kind of like help someone in that situation now?
I encourage the sense of knowing oneself. If you're not sure, don't do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because udela yonke into, you leave everything that's saying no and everything that might be an obstacle, and you're saying, come hell or high water, I am going to do this and I know I can.
Yeah.
And I say that very knowingly because I knew, you know, I got depressed at some point, you know, and I remember I had this dream and I think God was like, hey, this child, it's getting rough now.
Yeah.
And I had this dream where I was in a hole, but I kept seeing light
at the top,
at the top, and like, okay, there's no grass, there's nothing to hold on to in this hole, but I know I'm gonna get out.
Yeah.
And I used to listen to a lot of Kabzela's show.
Yeah.
And I used to listen to him every Sunday, and I'd be by myself. Somehow all the other eight people would disappear on Sundays.
Yeah.
And those were precious moments
and
for
give
me.
Space.
Yeah. Where I'd pray and meditate, and I think I met myself there.
Right. Yeah.
In the midst of the noise, in the midst of violence, the rapes.
The
and
discomfort.
I was really protected somehow.
Yeah.
You know, because I did have friends. I did go to street bashing. And, you know, there was only one incident that almost got out of hand. But I was protected. And, you know, my mom, my biological mother, you know, she wasn't there when I was young. But when I was there, she was there. I remember this guy, Barke Pasta, who was a gangster. And he threatened to rape me. And I told my mom and my aunts, everybody from the house. They went to Pasta's house and they knocked on Pasta's mkukure. Lalela, you dare touch. And these were all women in my family. And the neighbors got in on it like, ayatelela. And they all went there and they stood up for me.
Yeah.
They stood up for me because I was also their hope.
Kore,
we did not do much, but we'll help you. We'll protect you with everything that we've got. And my mom was ready. I knew. I saw it in her eyes. She was ready to go to jail for me.
Yeah.
She was ready.
That is so amazing because, you know, now with the way things are going right now with all the rapes, when people disappear, women being victimized, being raped, being beaten up, you know, so much violence, like gender-based violence. And you find that right now we've kind of lost a sense of let's get together and go to that guy. We all know who he is.
Yes.
Do you understand? But then because knowing who he is, but then there's right now there's been some invisible fear that has been instilled. And that has now like made us silent because now you don't want to help in case you're the one who gets you're the one who gets hurt. And now that has kind of cut us up into pieces and we have been divided. And I think from a storyteller point of view, those are some of the stories that we need to tell, because as black folk, like you said earlier, our grandparents would sit us around a fire or in the kitchen around the welcome Dover stove and then they start telling you all these nice stories and all of that. But right now we don't have that. Like for instance, I know I'm a storyteller, but I don't sit around with my kids as much as I would like to say to them this and this and that. And not because I don't have the time. They also don't have time. They've got other things to do. They're like, no, please bring me this, I'm going out with my friends, you know. But how do you think, like from your experiences when I know to, and being the storyteller that you are, and even some of the things that you've been writing, how do you think we can actually go back to, and not saying go back to like the old traditional ways, but to be able to tell stories, you know, to our kids so they can know culture, upbringing, history, especially the history of where we come from, of who we are, you know. We've got the gift of knowing that if someone says, I'm Tweni, they know, oh, Utlou, Then they give you this whole recitation, you know, there's like this whole recitation of your lineage. And I think somehow we've lost that. And how do we bring it back? And because I know it's something that you're definitely passionate about, the songs that you write, the words that you pen down, and the stories that you tell. And how do you how do you want to go about that?
Well, it's taking a lot to actually teach my own child these stories and to tell. I've literally begun to write a family history. Because you know what you carry. When you're pregnant, you know who you're carrying. You know, and I realized this when I was going through my own turmoil, that Bothata Baka is not even that. I actually am trying to find myself. Even the universe itself is trying to find me or Omang. So what we can try as storytellers, and guys, I gabi, but it bothers me that the only time that black parents are home is Sundays, right?
Most, yes.
But also that Sunday is spent all day cooking. And then maybe hausa peyu where we cook, and then we eat, and then everyone goes on about their business. Can we try and work with this Sunday business? Why are our churches taking up so much, like 6-7 hours of a Sunday? That's a lot. When I drive to my grandmother's house, Gozola, month end, right? And I'm stuck in traffic. And if me mahlangu o chaisitse ka 4 or 5, o tlo fihla ko ntlong ka 8:30. No one has checked homework. No one knows, how are you doing, my child? How was school? Because mom is tired. We need to create these support networks for families. Right? And I just think that the more we're so self-absorbed, we're doing all these things, we're trying to chase the career, but the family is breaking down.
Okay. So for me, is would that be a story to tell? Because I mean, I think if you can find, like, speak to your big productions and maybe like Mzansi Magic, maybe like a 1 or 2 hour film. Would that be possible to do?
It would be possible to do, but you know, the film industry, one of the challenges, that's on, you know. But I just think that even let's fix the family structure. Can dads be around?
Right.
Can dads really? I say utlotlaka satartaha in single parent households, utlotlaka satartaha latebana. Can they do that and really spend time with the kids and not take them to these places that naling mizwinki, where they play, where then you're not involved.
You just monitor
that,
like, you know? hey, don't climb on that thing. Sit down.
And you never really get to talk to your children.
I wanted to ask you this question. I mean, seeing that you have done it all, I mean, film, musicals, theater, you know, TV, the works. Someone could be sitting there and thinking, you know, generally growing up, you are told, you know, you need to work hard, make money and all that. But then nobody tells you what to do once you've hit the ceiling. You know, you said jokingly in the beginning that, you know, you've done it all. Nobody wants to hire you. And maybe that's a serious concern. But then how do you help someone who has reached, who has hit the ceiling and they feel, I can't go anywhere. I seem to be stuck in one place.
Reinvention. Reinvention. When I was busy with television and was on a soap every day of the week, I was feeling, you know, I've done my bit here on Rhythm City. I've done it. There's so much more. I'm growing, but there's nowhere to go. What do I do? And so I left. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do drama and film. And that's exactly what I did. And I did theater as well. But I was really lucky. So now the challenge that I'm facing is that you've done all these shows, right? And it's great. And I really enjoy it. But there's still that thing that's beckoning, or you haven't told the stories that you've always wanted to tell.
Yes.
And that's where I'm at now. where I've been forced. The universe has literally dragged me to sit down and write. Yeah. Write that book, you know. And it's been really difficult where the book just rattles me every day.
Yeah.
Like, am I really that hurt? Am I really that broken? Then I start crying. But that's a process, because storytelling is also about healing.
It is
about healing, because it just breaks you. And you have to get up the next day and write again, write more. And then the more you remember. So with everything that I've done, every project that I've done, it was leading to this particular moment where I'm going to be Noctula Lewatla's mom, so-and-so's sister. Apart from having the career, you know, I have to be that person in society that other kids look up to as a sister, not just as Moto Ektang. And that's where I'm at right now, where I know other actresses have been through the same thing. Other actors have been through the same thing, where you, especially when you hit your 30s, because now you know what you want, boo.
It's like, I know it.
Like, it's I know how I want to work.
Yes.
You do your bit, I do my bit. No manga, you know, in the mix. We just want to do the work. So I'd say that go re-find yourself.
Right.
Because in all this, television can actually hinder the noise, especially the hype can hinder your inner voice. It really just blocks you, where you get caught up. And it gets really, really crazy. It really does, where the inner person is just saying, please listen to me. And you're not available. And that's where we lose it.
But you see, that's how the, but now that's how the world works, because you are the one who plants the seed, waters the seed, and watch the tree grow in everything. And only when the fruit is ripe and it's out there and it looks beautiful, like when there's no when there's no harvest, the trees are just trees. They're all green, and you can't just stand there and marvel at the green trees. It's only when the fruit comes out and you're like, oh my, look at this beautiful oranges or whatever the case might be. But that's how it is. Now, when because what you're saying is that now then people then focus on the orange, the result of the growth of the process. And if you are the tree itself, you don't forget the process, because someone is focusing on the oranges, because the orange will come and go. That is the invites, the social media hype, the instant fame at that time. Exactly. And then you have to now go back to the drawing board and say, okay, fine, what does the tree need for us to stop the rotten orange? Like, you still have to go back within yourself and work on that. So constantly. I think that's a constantly do that, because I think that's one of the biggest mistakes that we make, because we love it when people love us. It is amazing. You know, the things you get away with, the things that you can negotiate your way out of. But at the end of the day, it is still the hard work that you do for yourself that will keep bringing out the fruit. But then when you mess with a tree, then there won't be fruit, you know. And I think that is the basic
and that for me is the belated moment of the day. And of course, we are in conversation with Noctula Letwaba, and of course we appreciate your comments, your views. 0797482090. If you do have something to say, you can also just chip in and tell us what you think of this conversation. Now, I wanted to ask a question, and I think it borrows from what you had said earlier. How did Hollywood, and I think Rami, since well, you are the veteran, how did Hollywood get it right that they glorify their actors and their, basically their actor, you know, their thespians? You know, it's like in Hollywood, like an actor or an actress, they are such a big deal. Because you understand that it's good for ratings. If you do a movie with a certain person, you know how the ratings will go. How do you think they got it right versus how, you know, we are treated, you know, locally?
They fought. They fought. It was, it took so much work and sometimes blood for them to get where they are today.
It has been it was sadly, at a standstill for quite some time.
It wasn't,
and people lost jobs.
yeah
people lives. Lost opportunities, yeah. People died. And also, and the funny thing is, now look at me answering the question. the funny thing is that, you know, Hollywood is just like, it's literally a drop. When you compare it with a drop of water, when you compare it with the States, I mean, the States, that's in the that makes what the US is. Mm. And now when you compare it with South Africa, we are the actual state ourselves. Mm. It's South Africa is just South Africa. We're not even talking with about the rest of Africa. And then, so the demographics are quite different. Mm. So, And because they became so close knit, because Hollywood is Hollywood, kind of Hollywood is the West Side, ne?
Yeah,
and then the New York is the East Side.
East, yes.
Yeah. In case Kisaba is our, so I must know what's my West and what's my East. But at the end of the day, it was amazing how the fighting by a drop of people impacted the whole world, like literally changed the industry around. Mm-hmm. You know, and I mean, the beautiful Hollywood sign that everybody loves.
Yeah.
That was actually an actual donation, because no one could even afford to put up that thing. It was donated by somebody.
Okay.
Yeah. And then eventually it started getting value, because yeah, if you're standing, then you take a picture.
Mm.
But as Nokutula said, someone had to fight to get there. And they had, people went in into government and spoke in front of ministers and whatever they call
and they
them
got
that
together.
Side.
They were and they united. Got
together. But we don't have that, because it is so difficult. Right now, we're having people struggling. If I am expensive at a production or for a production, there'll always be another younger version of me prepared to do the job for far less.
Right.
And that's how they break us up. That's okay. How they break the industry up.
Yeah.
So you never, so there's no, and another thing is that people are transparent. That's how we know what Julia Roberts gets for a movie, how much Denzel Washington gets.
Mm.
Right now we don't discuss that. You know, we are afraid.
You have nothing to benchmark against.
Yeah.
So you can't even set the standard.
No, we can't. And it's just a few people where we'll call each other.
Few, yeah.
Yeah. Just very few.
Well,
and
like,
say,
hey,
do you know this?
Barry,
they give me R1,000. I'm like, they're lying. They offered me 5. And then, you know, then when you get in there to go fight, you fight with knowing. But right now we're fighting because we don't know.
We don't know.
We're fighting the unknown. You're just hitting the air. But if we were actually set together and said, this is a minimum fee.
And also, agents don't work for us.
No, they don't. They think we work for them, don't they?
The agents don't work for us.
They just want to make a commission.
Where you find that there's supposed to be an appearance. You did some work, ning-ning, right? So now a certain broadcaster bought rights of that, and then that channel says, oh, come, and you're like, how much are you paying me?
Yes.
And like, oh no, we don't have budget. Like, oh, okay.
No,
and
then sorry.
Why did you call me?
Yeah,
like, I okay. And then you know, sometimes, because you don't want to be that awkward person, you know, that prima donna, that's what they call us when you ask for your money. And then the agent is like, oh, but so and so was also in this project, do you want them?
Hey,
yeah,
that's how it's done.
What are we going to do to change things around? Is it too late?
No.
What would be some of your recommendations?
Well, yeah, Nokutula, what do you think?
When I'm rich, there's going to be wuzo futa.
Yeah,
because now I still have to go back and you know still audition, and you know there's only so much fighting you can do.
Yeah.
Because on every single production, you know, you find certain challenges that, you know, aren't even supposed to be there. Your work should be your problem.
Yeah.
Right.
Delivering lines and acting and telling the story is your job. But you end up having to fight for other things. Or why
what
aren't the
makeup,
extras
what shoes?
Fed? It's just basic human decency.
Mm.
True.
Why are the extras not being fed?
Why are they not sitting under a proper shelter?
Why
where are the chairs?
They crammed in this tiny room where they can't even breathe.
While my dressing room can take 5 extra people.
And it's those things. It's we seriously need to
reform.
yeah, we need to regulate this industry. And I appeal to the arts minister. There's some real work to be done.
Yeah.
People are literally dying from depression.
True.
Crews, actors, actresses, people are literally dying. Things are really bad.
Mm. Yeah.
We need to start working. You have the power. You have the voice.
Yeah.
Please use it and help us. We'll help you.
Right. Mm. Yeah.
Wow, Nokuthula.
Let's bring it down. Woo, that was let's loaded.
Talk about, let's talk about roots. The way she goes like...
And I think I also on that. Ramza. No, but this is very exciting. You started something. Oh.
Yes, I was like, I'm in mid sentence. And these old friends.
So excited.
Like,
listen to this. I'm interested to find out. You know you spoke about the treatment. Mm-hmm. You know, when you are doing an international versus local. I think if you can find a time to chip in there. Okay, continue, Ramsta.
Okay.
You just got me all excited. Okay. That's all.
What I want to talk about, Rusno, it's not about the treatment and who you worked with. It's absolutely not that. Because, well, I believe for you, okay, I would have given my left arm and my right arm and my left leg to work on roots. Definitely, I would have. Like, I would have given everything to work on roots because being the book that... Well, I read Roots in high school, and it was that book. I mean, it had more than 2,000 pages.
Yes. Mm.
That's how thick the book was. Mm. And it had generation after generation after generation. And my own understanding is that shooting Roots, irrespective of who you worked with, for you it must have been an amazing personal journey, because I know you are the one who keeps saying, Rami, I met this and so and so and so, and I think they might be my cousin, they might be related. You are so generational, yes. And so, because you're just like that about family. And for me, I'm thinking it must have been one of the most amazing experiences for you to work through something that you're passionate about, because and what, why did, like, for instance, why did you say yes to the job? Was it the story itself, or was it because they were paying well, or was it because of the people that you worked with? But in my head, I was like thinking, I know Nokuthula took that job because roots is her kind of thing, you know. Definitely. Even if they were not paying you, I'm sure you would have done
it. Yeah, I would have done it. I would have done it.
I knew it
without any hesitation.
Yeah.
With roots, people always say, "Hey, it's another story about slavery." But the roots that I was in was more about our history being interrupted.
Yeah.
Oh.
Jafure was a city, a trading city. If you remember, in the first roots, Kunta Kinte had never met a white man.
Yeah.
But historically, the people of Jafure were traders.
Yeah.
You know, throughout the coast, they were trading.
Yeah.
So they had met white people,
before.
Portuguese.
Yes.
You know, Englishmen. For years and years and years. And the reason I did Roots was for my mother. It's a story about mothers who lose their children and never knowing what happened to my child. And I related because of the uprisings in South Africa where parents to this day have no idea what happened to my child. You birth a child and the next thing, wanyamala.
Disappeared.
Awitso oshwele. Did they even make it? Kikai kona hona ko, where they were taken. And it was a difficult story to tell because it broke me over and over. The pain that the last time Binta sees her son.
Yeah.
Instinctively, she knew he's not coming back.
Yeah.
He's not coming back. And the sensation I felt while doing the birth scene was nothing I'd ever experienced in my life.
Yeah.
I literally felt an energy, you know.
So you were really giving birth?
Yes. Yeah. I couldn't breathe. I remember the paramedics had to come in because I wasn't breathing. I was like, guys, what's going on? What's going on? And we have our rituals as actors where you thank this person, especially if it's a real person. A real person story that you're telling, or Galeboha for letting me tell your story.
Yeah.
You know, and I do roots again and again and again.
And wow. We are out of time.
We've
can
run
you
out
believe?
Of time. That's what I see us here. But, Maroms, I see you're pointing.
I know. I was just saying, how can people get a hold of you, social media wise?
Well, I am on social media, on Twitter. My handle, konjeking at Knox Nonozi, NoxNonozi, and on Facebook, Knox Letwaba. And
Instagram
at Knox Nonozi with an X,
yeah,
not a K.
Well, we are happy that you came through.
Yeah, man.
And really, yeah, honored. I mean, we can go on and on and on. But I wish you the best, Wenanokuthula. I've seen your journey, your growth, and everything that you've done so far. And I hope that you get to tell so many of your stories and so many of your history, some of the things that you're writing about, may we live to see them. And most importantly, may you live to see them as well. And may someone else wake up and decide that your story is worth telling, just like you told the story of Roots as well. And may you be grounded as you are, stay grounded and stay deeply rooted like you've always been. Guys, this has been Be Lighted with Rami and Romeo.
Yep.
And we'll see you again soon.
Cheers.
Bye.
Have a lovely week. Bye.
Be Lighted.
Hi, this is Renata Steedman, and you are listening to Be Lighted with Rami and Romeo on Clip Central.